This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, disaster preparedness for pets and keeping your pets cool and safe during the hot summer. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian Greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the thedoggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. I'm here with Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting, with our pet tip of the week. And Monica, last show, we talked about disaster preparedness and kind of how to get yourself ready and have your plan before you, whether you evacuate, stay home, what paperwork to have, all that. Now we're going to go into the second aspect of disaster preparedness for pets and for us. So can you share all that great information? It's very valuable. So if you want to get a paper and pencil, this is the time to do it.
Absolutely. So what we're going to talk about now is our disaster supply kits. So like you mentioned, you know, after our last conversation for part one, we had talked about preparing where you were going to go and make sure your pet were easily identified. Now we're going to talk about what you are going to need to have ready. So that way you have everything covered with your pet's needs and you can pick it up and go if you need to. Get out of the house real fast and get to wherever you need to be without having to scramble and look around and grab things last minute. So to start, you're going to want a basic watertight container. So whether it be a tote or a water safe bag, whatever is easiest for you, just make sure that whatever you store your stuff in, that it is watertight. I know like paint buckets can work good sometimes for these kind of things. They're taller. I've seen people use like the really big cat litter bucket, regular watertight containers. There's a lot of options out there. Just make sure that whatever you have it in, it is watertight. So first, what you're going to want to have besides your bucket is your crate or carrier, something large enough to where your pet can have room to make sure they can turn around, things of that nature. Something large enough to where if they have to be in there for even a couple days, that it's going to be large enough for them to be able to be comfortable in. when you talk about that specifically, like for cats, for example, if you go to a shelter or hotel and the pet has to be contained into one area, you want to make sure that that crate or carrier is large enough to house like a small litter box, plus have a place for the, you know, pet to lay down. So size does matter, but you also want to make sure that it's something that you can travel with that isn't, you know, something that can fold up or something that is light enough to where you can not only have it big enough to have the pet comfortable in, but also something that you can easily fold up and down to transport, or something that's light enough to where if you can carry it, you can transport it easily. We talked about having our pets' collars and leashes and everything on them, but we always recommend, you know, having a backup in there. Anything can become lost, broken. So definitely have, you know, a backup collar, leash, harness in your kit. Make sure, of course, we had talked about our pet's medic paperwork, things of that nature. So make sure that you have an extra copy of your pet's vaccination records, a copy of their rabies license, a copy of your veterinarian's information, and then, of course, a feeding, medicating, just basic care sheet with your pet's pictures on there as well. So if you have to hand your pet off to somebody else, that you have everything in that little kit to have somebody else that has never met your pet have enough information to take care of them if you are not able to yourself. You want to make sure that in that supply kit, you have a 3-week supply of your pet's medications. I would say bare minimum 3 weeks. You never know that if you live in an area that, for example, is hit hard, you could be in a situation to where your veterinarian may have to close. There may be damage. There could be, you know, zero electricity. I know for our office, when we had a hurricane come through a year or two ago, it wasn't that we had a lot of damage, but we had a lot of electrical issues. And it was 2 weeks before we even had power restored. So you want to make sure that you are very good on your pet's medications. And if you have a medication that your pet needs to survive, you know, pets that are diabetic, pets that are, you know, on something that is vital to health, I would recommend very much that you have at least 3 to 4 weeks easy of that medication, because you do not want to get in a situation where you are unable to get that filled. If your pet is anxious when it comes to storms or traveling, and quite honestly, any pet could be, even ones that are normally fine with thunderstorms and loud noises, any pet can become anxious in a disaster type situation. There's a lot of changes, a lot of people going on, and, you know, pets can kind of feed off their surroundings. So, you know, if people are upset, if it is a stressful situation, then that can add, you know, that stress onto the pets as well. So, you know, talking to your veterinarian about products, supplements, or things that you can use in regards to calming your pet down if they become overly anxious or excited, that should be in your kit ready to go. For our kitty cats, we want to make sure that we have disposable litter boxes. If you are in a situation to where you have to go to a shelter or a hotel, or you do not even have electricity in your home, you want to make sure that disposable litter boxes can be changed out frequently. So make sure you have enough of a supply. What I have used in the past and had really good success with is even like cardboard shirt boxes, things of that nature. Like I will literally, you know, when they have a lot of them available at Christmas time, stuff like that, I buy backup packages, you know, that way I just have for my supply kit, because they can easily be thrown away. You can fit them into like big gallon Ziploc bags to contain the scent. So if you're in an area that has no electricity, or, you know, you're stuck inside, you know, something without, you know, any kind of trash pickup, you want something that is not going to be overly smelly in a small area with multiple people. So having the Ziploc bags that you can dispose of them in and putting fresh new litter in, will be very helpful to keep our odors down, keep our pets, you know, going to the bathroom in something that isn't overly smelly or full, and it keeps everything clean and sanitary and contained. You would want to have a 3-week supply of your pet's food and water, as well as plastic bowls or some kind of disposable bowls. If you give canned food, you may want to have some disposable paper plates or paper bowls to put them in. If you don't have, you know, the availability to really be washing out bowls afterwards and things like that, disposable bowls work really well for that. Making sure you have a can opener, so a manual can opener, so that way if you get into an instance where, you know, even if you have pop top cans for canned food, you know, sometimes that can break and you're stuck trying to figure out how to get into a can. So having a manual can opener if your pets have canned food is very important. You want to make sure you have plenty of like cleaning supplies. So, you know, paper towels, pet safe cleaner that you can clean up any messes and, you know, clean their basic supplies with. And of course, you know, plastic trash bags and plastic Ziploc bags to put things in, of course, to cut down the odor and, you know, keep everything clean and sanitary, of course. You want to make sure you have blankets, toys. If you are in a situation to where you're going through an area that, you know, your pet's going to get wet, it's raining, it's storming, even, you know, going through floodwaters, make sure you have blankets that you can keep them dry, towels that you can dry your pet off with comfortably, and then, of course, have blanket bedding for their crate carrier. They can feel comfortable in there. Anything that has a scent from home to put into the bedding is a great idea to help calm our pets down and make them more comfortable. And a favorite toy or something to keep them occupied is also a really great idea. If they're in a, you know, stressful situation, again, you know, things like Kongs or little toys that you can, you know, squirt like the Kong filling in or some dry treats, something that you can keep in there that's perishable to keep them occupied may shift an anxious dog's attention to that special treat instead of what's going on in its surroundings and help calm them down. You want to, you know, we talked about having the detailed instructions, you know, definitely keep a copy on you and a copy in your kit, but also include a copy of your family's emergency plans and contact information. That way, for some reason, if something happens, and again, you are separated from your pets, not only do they have, you know, your pet's information, but they also have your emergency contact information. That way, for some reason, if you do not have cell service in your area or lines are down, you know, certain phone carriers may not be up and running. For some instance, if you guys get separated from your pets and they cannot reach you, having a copy of your emergency plan in there with your emergency contacts listed, as well as your veterinarian's information, can be really great backups if for some reason you are not able to be reached. You want to make sure you have some kind of weather radio, something that you can get information on when there's no electricity, and that includes having your batteries for those. And of course, flashlight and batteries and backup batteries to go with that. That way, if you're in an area to where, you know, there's not sufficient lighting, then you can easily see. What I have in my kit, which I really, really like, is you can cheaply get the headband flashlight. So that way, if you're trying to, you know, lift a carrier or your supply kit or whatever you guys have, you're not trying to hold a flashlight, you know, figure out, you know, your car keys or, you know, look for whatever or see where you're going. You know, having to hold something when you're transitioning between place to place can be difficult. So the little ones that go on like the headband that have the light, you know, that way you can wear it, can oftentimes be really handy and helpful. Yeah, and it serves as just a little backup, that having them for the family. And then, of course, you know, having, you know, flashlight backup. They also have, you know, little lights that you can put on your pet's collar. A lot of times they can, you know, they recommend them for people who are walking in the evening. But having something like that, that can quickly clip on your pet's collar with a light. You know, if you're in an evacuation situation where there's no electricity, Having that extra light, you know, on your pet will aid people who are trying to, you know, see in dark places, and also keeping an eye on your pet, you know, how far away they're getting from you, you know, even on a leash, you know, if something, you know, else is approaching you guys, it's good to just have any extra illumination you can get. And I know they have them all over at most places. You get ones that blink, ones that stay steady, different colors, things of that nature. But stuff that you can clip on easily that you're not having to carry around is always, always helpful. And of course, we want to have first aid supplies. So you want to have one, you want to have your basic bandaging material. You know, like I said, if you're going through a flooded area or even like a wooded area, you know, things kind of push around in storms. You've got heavy wind. You can have, you know, trash floating around, you know, different things can go out there, and, you know, you have fallen trees, limbs, things that can have prickers and thorns. So you want to be able to make sure, you know, if your pet, you know, slips on something or falls on something or gets something wedged in their pads or their paw or on their body, that you have basic first aid needs that you can care for those minor things. So stuff like bandaging material, antiseptic spray or ointment, alcohol, betadine works really well as an antiseptic, gloves for yourself, tweezers, claws, even have, you know, something that you can, you know, like the tongue depressors or sticks, something that you can use for a makeshift splint if needed. And you can have the friendliest of dogs, dogs that will let you do anything to them. But if a dog is in pain and hurting from pain, when you try to give them first aid, it may hurt. And dogs that are in pain can bite. So again, even if it's your own pet and they're never a problem to deal with, having a muzzle for your protection is really a must have. I mean, this is a really big one that a lot of people are like, no, my dog is sweet. We would never need a muzzle for him. You know, if you have a dog that's injured, you can have the best behaved dog in the world, but if it hurts, they can react. And you want to make sure that you stay safe so you can keep your pet safe. So that is a very important one to have in your kit. I also recommend having a life preserver, like a life vest for each and every pet you have. If you're in a situation where, you know, and this brings me back like to all the photos that everybody saw, you know, back when you had like Katrina, or you have an area that has heavy flooding and you have people evacuating and you have, you know, pets and carriers that they're trying to float by, you know, you have, you know, larger pets that are having to tread water. If you have to go any kind of distance, even the most physically fit pets that are used to swimming all the time and being, you know, boating, anything like that, they can tire out very fast. You know, you get the stress and the adrenaline from reacting to its surroundings, and then the exercise, that can tire them out very quickly. So having, you know, a life vest preserver, something with a handle that you can, you know, help your dog and hold on to them for if they're having to tread water, you know, for our kitty cats or even some of our smaller ones, they have, for some of the smaller carriers you can get, and some things I've seen work really well is small little pools, or even, for example, they have, in some occasions, they have tub liners that they use for young children. So when they're in like a normal size bathtub, you can put these liners around the tub and blow them up so they have some kind of padding. But even purchasing something like that and securing it tight enough, blown up around the outside of your carrier, can help to take some of the weight off that carrier and keep it, you know what I mean, at a higher level if you're having to tread water for a while. All those like little extras can help, you know, make transitioning and moving from one place to another in heavy waters a lot easier. But if you can,
that's a great idea. You know, we have all three of mine have the life preservers with the handle on it because we're in a flood area. But That's a great idea about the the little tub liner, the children's tub liners. If you have to put a tote, especially if you have like a cat or something like that, you want to put a crate in there. That's great, because I mean, as we've all seen those pictures of people trying to keep their crates above, you know, the water, keep, you know, their dogs above the water, their cats. This is something that, you know, you don't think you're going to need, but you never know if you are going to need it. It's better to be safe than sorry.
And, you know, it sounds like a lot of items, but honestly, when you sit down and, you know, start going through and getting them all, it can fit in, you know, a compact portable tote. It sounds overwhelming and it can be, but really it's just being prepared, you know, writing things down and just start. You know, sometimes when you have big lists or a lot of things to do, it can be overwhelming. And, you know, I just tell people start one thing at a time, you know, just one little piece at a time and move on to the next. And as you get everything, you'll see, you know, everything can fit in there. You know, make sure that your paperwork is in a watertight, you know, bag, put it in like a Ziploc. You know, if you have those gallon Ziplocs, you know, throw a couple, you know, extra in there. That way, you know, you have backups. But all of that stuff, when you put it all together, can easily go into a nice tote. You know, I always recommend your medication put inside the watertight Ziploc as well. That way, you know, if any of your bottles, you know, get water into them, anything like that, any extra steps that you can take to keep things clean and easy and disposable. Like I know, for example, for my kids at home, for the cats, I folded all of the disposable shirt boxes. Like I kept them in the package nice and tight and packaged up. And when I had one open, I just measured how much litter was needed for the pan, each pan. And I just scooped them into little bags. So literally all I had was the flat, you know, disposable boxes, and then had smaller Ziploc bags for each day with litter. And they all fit in there nicely. They stacked on top of each other. You know, it wasn't, you know, too overly heavy. And then you just, you know, layer it up, put your food in there, your batteries, you know, your medications, your can opener, and, you know, everything will just fit in there nicely and you'll be good to go.
And that's what we need. We need to have and this is great, Monica, because you're giving us like a almost like a checklist so that we could go through this and it really isn't overwhelming. It's great to know mentally that you have all this stuff ready. You know where it is. And mine is in the same spot in the garage. We have the same, you know, that we keep stuff in. And then we have their little go bag of food and water. And we have little disposable cups. I keep that in my pantry. So I have their little go bag. And then, of course, we have our own. But it's good to have it so you know where it is, because then you can just go to it, because when tragedy strikes, you just don't have time to think.
Absolutely. And you know, what I tell clients too is, you know, whenever you come in to purchase your food or whatever, if you can get into the habit of literally, like, you know, I have my kits on a nice little rack in the garage. So I have go bags made up for myself and my daughter, and I have the go bag for the pet. Mm-hmm. And everything is already stocked and sitting there nicely to where all you have to do is walk out. They're on the shelf. You grab and you go. But if you can get in the habit, like whenever you go purchase your next bag of food, like I literally it's habit. It's built in now. I walk out there. I grab whatever bag of food is in my kit already. I put the new one in and I put the one from the kit into the bin in the pantry. So that way, you know, you're constantly getting fresh stuff. And for some reason, if, you know, that just doesn't become a habit, even if you check your kit, you know, every, you know, 6 months, even set it up twice a year, you know, spring and fall, you know, anything that you can do to kind of get into the habit of rotating that stuff. Because the last thing you want, I mean, I hate when I have to rebuy things that I don't end up using and then, you know, having to rebuy it again. So it's the same thing, you know, with your pet's medications. You don't want to have, you know, outdated meds when you go to grab your kit whenever you need it. So if you get in the routine of just swapping them out, like whenever you buy new, you know, just buy new and bring it to the kit and take out what's in there and use that. That way you always have fresh supplies.
That's a great idea too, and especially with expiration dates. We had a guest on our show. I'm going back years ago, who talked about the fact that she kept the same. Because I mean, we may go through a year without a hurricane hitting our area, but I mean, it may hit, but we may not have to evacuate or do anything. And she had the same kit for like a couple of years. When she went to go in, the food had expired, everything smelled. So you're right. It's very important to kind of maintain it or keep it updated. And you have to think of expiration dates on foods, the freshness of foods, and also the medications, because you don't want to have something that's expired. So that's great to cycle it out as you're getting it, because it's something that you use all the time. I mean, it's something that's for your pet's daily life and even for our daily life, you know, our own food and treats or whatever we have in our go bag.
Absolutely. And one other thing that, you know, we don't mention a lot, but it's something to definitely think about. You know, we have pets that are on medications that have to be stored in the cold. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about insulin and, you know, certain medications that are stored in the refrigerator. And then that becomes, you know, overwhelming sometimes and an issue. And even having, you know, like a very small, you know, like a insulated lunch bag, things of that nature, something small that you can throw in there that's going to have some insulation. They have, I know that they have these nice ice packs that you can get that you don't have to worry about having refrigeration or electricity to activate. So it's not like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to pull ice packs out of my freezer, but in 2 days, or one day, you know, when they all start melting, then what am I going to do for the rest of the time? And I've seen these ones that you can get online where it's kind of like a press and activate. Mm-hmm. So it's like once you put them in your kit, you can have them sit there for a while and then you activate them as needed. So you kind of like scrunch it up and, you know, kind of like pop it.
Yeah.
And then it will, yes, then it will activate and it will get cold or hot or whatever. You know, they have different ones. So something like that, you know, maybe, you know, good to look into that way if you need something, you know, to stay cool. That's some backup if you don't have any kind of refrigeration available.
That's great. That, and you know what else, too, we used ours for? Because they packed, it's dry till you twist and pop it for an injury. Mm-hmm. One of ours had an injury, you know, not a life-threatening injury, but we used it as an ice pack, too. So
absolutely. And they have warming ones. So, you know, if you're in a, you know, part of the country that has an emergency and it's cold out, you know, if you need to, you know, pop some of those and have the warming ones that you can put underneath their blankets to kind of help with some extra heat if there's not electricity available and you're in a cold weather situation. So things of that nature, depending on where you're located and, you know, what you would kind of, you know, what kind of disaster you would be looking at, you know, they have ones that can work both ways that can help with some of those issues.
Wow, that's great. Good to know. So, well, Monica, this is very helpful. And for those of you who missed the first half of it, it aired in our last show. So you could find that. It's up wherever our podcast is. It's on Pet Life Radio. If you want to go to Pet Life Radio and you can hear our first half of the disaster preparedness. And Monica actually helps to explain what you do to prepare yourself, whether your location, if you're going to evacuate, things like that, to have that pre-planned and have your evacuation plan, have all of the, you know, your family members, anyone outside the family that needs to know what's going on, to share it with them. And then in today's show, of course, we actually have the supplies and the things that you need to have when you're getting ready for the disaster. So this is very, very important stuff. And for those of us in, you know, on the Gulf Coast where the hurricanes are, we have from June until, you know, till November to be on kind of high alert for all of that. And throughout the country, there's disasters, like I said, that are wildfires, tornadoes, flooding, whatever it is that you have. This is something that you could just have on hand, and even to have the plans for it right on hand, because you never know when disaster is going to strike. You just never know. It's good to have your own plan and your pet's plan, so that everything, all of the legwork is done, and you just have to react to whatever the situation is. You don't even have to think about it. Everything's there. You got everything ready, And then you can just react to whatever it is that you need to respond to.
Absolutely. And like I said, you know, an ounce of prevention is well worth, you know, taking the time to, you know, get it all done. And then when you get in that situation, those situations are stressful enough at times, you know, knowing that you're ready and you're prepared and you have a plan can make going through a disastrous situation a lot less stressful. You have the comfort in knowing that you are prepared as, you know, as much as you can be. And, you know how to move forward. You've reviewed it. So you're ready to go. And it gives yourself and your pets and your family, you know, the best possibility of remaining safe and calm as much as, you know, possible. And I, you know, for myself, an example, you know, at the beginning of the year, you know, it's New Year's, you're going through and making sure you have all your updated stuff. You know, I sit down and it's like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to transition my stuff, like new, you know, our insurance is renewing. I should make sure I keep all that contact information on me in case there's an issue. You know, I'll take pictures of the, you know, new insurance policy, you know, and keep it in my phone as a backup copy. You know, I'll go through and update my pet kits. I'll go through and, you know, if you can just set yourself some kind of schedule that is easy for you to get into the habit, and it can be whatever works best for you. You know, some people are really good at, you know, doing something quarterly. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to sit down and, you know, do it on this much of a routine or this much of a routine, whatever it is. You know, as you go through your house, you're changing out your ill filters, you're doing your regular maintenance. Try to work that into it and just make it a routine. And that way you're always prepared, always ready. And it's not something that, you know, like your friend had, for example, you know, the gas that, you know, it had been a year or two since they had looked at it. So if you can just kind of get into some kind of routine and, you know, schedule to where when you're doing other things, it's like added into it, you know, and you get into the routine of doing it all the time, you will constantly be prepared and ready to go at any moment.
And so important. And thank you so much again for sharing this with us, because this is important information. It's something that no matter where you live in the country, that it's, you may want to just have this on hand just for your own peace of mind. So Monica, as always, thank you so much for bringing us such great information. And for those of you who may have missed the first half of this, it played in our last show. So it's available up on Pet Life Radio. And I thank you very much. And thank you, Monica. And stay safe during this hurricane season.
Thank you. I wish everybody a great week and a really safe hurricane season.
Thank you so much. We'll be back in just a moment. Hello, everyone. Susan Marie and Miss Olive here to tell you about the award-winning 3-book series, The Doggy Diva Diaries. It is a trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup, hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In this series, Miss Olive learns that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the kindness and love you have on the inside that counts. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. And please visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information. Thank you, everyone. Coming up, are you looking for ways to keep your pets cool and safe during the hot summer months? Stay tuned.
Hey, everyone. Michelle Fern here. You know, dogs are part of our family. They're just our fur babes. And we want them to feel comfortable and cozy. And above all, make sure they're safe and protected. And that's how Diggs feels, too. That's Diggs with 2 G's. They're dedicated to improving the safety, happiness, health of your pets. And they have great, smart, stylish, super easy-to-use products. I love the Diggs Revel Collapsible Dog Crate. And it's not just a crate that you need when you're crate training your pooch. This crate is fabulous for your older dog. Dogs love having a little area they can go in and nest that's just their own. It's wonderful for traveling. If you're visiting people this summer and you're taking your pooch, take the Revel with you. It's a great way to set up a little space for your dog inside the area that you're staying in where they feel comfortable and safe. And guess what? The Revel collapsible dog crate is a cinch to use. It's so convenient. You can literally raise it and collapse it with one hand. very easy to clean and no injuries to paws or jaws. And if you're traveling in the air this summer, make sure you check out Digg's 5-star passenger travel carrier. It's small enough to fit right under your airline seat and plenty of space for your pooch. Make your pets more comfortable with Digg's wonderful products. Go to Digg's.pet and use promo code PETLIFE15. That's DIGGS.pet with promo code PETLIFE15 to get 15% off your entire order.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. As a pet parent, I believe it is so important to keep our pets healthy and safe during the hot summer months. And with us today to share valuable summer safety tips for pet parents is the Chief Marketing Officer of Bill Jack Foods, Kim Gablin. Hey, Kim, welcome back.
Hi, Sue. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, no. And no, we're entering summer. It's crazy hot. Of course, and I'm in Florida, so I don't think we even know when to go further than that. But it's so important that we are aware of things so that we keep our pets like safe and healthy and like something that we kind of need to oversee and ensure. How important is summer safety and health to pets?
You know, it's a really good point to talk about because summer is, it's a very warm time. You know, we love to be outside. We love to be out playing, you know, with our family, with the dog. So it's important to kind of know what to watch for, right? What signs to watch for if it's getting to be too much and how to kind of keep your dog safe during these hot days.
Absolutely. And what are some signs maybe of overheating?
And overheating is a big problem with dogs in the summertime. So it's something to definitely watch out for. We have kind of a lot of different ways that we sweat, you know, we can breathe and kind of cool ourselves off a little bit. Dogs are more likely to suffer from heat stroke than we are, which seems kind of funny, right? I mean, they seem pretty sturdy, but simply they don't sweat and relieve and release heat the same way that we do. So they lose, you know, a little bit of sweat through their foot pads, you know, through their noses, but they mostly cool down through panting. So it's important to kind of pay attention to, you know, how much your dog is panting when you're out in the heat. Things to look for warning signs of overheating can include things like really excessive or loud panting. You know, if they're extremely thirsty, it could actually lead to them being like sluggish or kind of disoriented. You know, maybe they have an increased heart rate, you know, so if their heart rate is really, you know, beating very fast, if they, their tongue could like, progress onto like being red, or they could be drooling or frothing a bit, or they could be staggering when they walk. So it's really important, you know, to look for these signs and they could potentially even have like a seizure or something like that. So it's very, very important to kind of watch for how they're doing with that heat. And, you know, if you have a dog with a flat face, you know, like pugs, for example, those dogs are more susceptible to overheating simply because they can't as efficiently and effectively pant, right? So they can't really, you know, kind of release that heat. And then, you know, if you have an older dog or a dog maybe that's more overweight or maybe has harder lung issues, those dogs, right, are always going to be a little bit more at risk as well. So those, you know, you want to kind of watch out a little special extra for them to make sure that they're not having any issues in the heat as well.
That's so important. And now what are some ways that we can prevent our pets from overheating?
Yeah, you know, there's like, you know, maybe five different ways to think about this. And I always like to start with kind of respecting the temperature. I know that, you know, it doesn't feel always very hot to us when we're outside, but you know, I know that when your dog's temperature reaches 104 degrees or more, they're at extreme risk for heat stroke, right? Because again, back to that limited ability to shed heat. So, you know, you want to make sure that you're respecting that temperature and making sure that their body's not getting very warm. And certainly, you know, we always talk about the first rule of hot weather, right? Never leave your pet in a hot vehicle or even a vehicle that you've cooled down and then you've left for a little while, right? When the temperatures are high and the sun is shining, you know, even like in 85 degrees, the temperature inside of a car with a cracked window can reach 102 degrees in just 10 minutes.
I'm so glad you brought that up because it's important because people think that they crack the window, oh, there's going to be ventilation. No, heat can raise so fast. So that's very important. Thank you for sharing that.
It really does. And you know, and it's one of those things where they did do a study where it does cracking the window. And I'm sure that that's, you know, it's not like taking the window down to half, but
yes,
cracking the window does not really make a huge mm-hmm. difference in how much air gets into the car. So again, very, very dangerous to leave your pet inside of a hot vehicle. You know, certainly making sure that they have shade outside, mm-hmm. and that you have water for them available. So if you have a dog that, you know, you let outside to the backyard, for example, you want to make sure that they have a clean, fresh bowl of water, preferably somewhere in the shade, you know, so that the water isn't hot.
Yes.
You don't want to put it in a glass bowl. That can be very dangerous. That can get very hot for them also to drink, and can breed kind of bacteria for them. Mm. So it's important to be able to have that an area of shade for them to be able to have, and then also that water, that fresh bowl of water outside and also, of course, inside. And you're going to want to watch about the time you take walks, right? If it gets really warm, you know, and outside and, you know, it's 90, 95 degrees in the middle of the day, then try to avoid walking at that time. You know, maybe walk earlier in the morning, walk after the sun goes down or a little later in the afternoon. And then, you know, where you walk makes a really big difference too. Instead of walking on the pavement, you know, and even warmer usually is asphalt, mm-hmm. you know, because that black usually attracts that heat and holds it. You want to maybe think about maybe going to the park, maybe walking on the grass mm-hmm. instead of on the sidewalk, you know, walking on a trail. So some of those things can kind of alleviate some of the heat that your dog would normally get by just being on pavement all the time. And then, you know, you might want to cut back the time that you do walk, right? Again, look for those signs, make sure that they're not panting too much and that you have water along with you on that walk.
It's very important to have water, and also too, for all animals, but if the heat of their pads, when the heat from the asphalt, when you're walking in yes. the middle of the day, just think about, like, I have like little flip flops that I go out with to mm-hmm. go to get the mail or do whatever I'm going to do. And my feet get hot through my little flip flops. Can you imagine what it's like for a dog, the impact of that asphalt on their little pads?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I've heard of a rule that says, you know, if you can't stand barefooted out mm-hmm. Wherever you're walking them, or, you know, out on the driveway or in the backyard, then you probably don't want them to be standing there, you know, with their foot pads. I know that, you know, a lot of times they rough up a little bit their foot pads,
mm-hmm.
but again, if it's that hot, it's really going to actually translate right to them, right to
yes.
their feet.
Yeah, no, that's
and it definitely does warm them up.
Like I said, I don't even like going out to get the mail in the middle of the afternoon. My feet, I'm going, oh no.
I know. Well, you know, it's kind of a win-win. You don't want to take them out in the heat, and then you don't have to subject yourself to
yes,
them.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
So it's kind of a nice thing. And, you know, it's the same thing about letting them out in the backyard, right? You might not want to let them out in the backyard mm-hmm. at, you know, maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, when often it gets like, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock, it often gets to be the warmest out. So you might not want them to be out then. You might want to leave them out in the morning for a little bit, or, you know, let them out in the backyard for a little bit, you know, later in the day, as opposed to, again, putting them out in the heat
yeah.
of the day. You know, and I also get a lot of questions about, you know, summer cuts, you know, and I've heard a lot of different kind of opinions about summer cuts. And I think it's always really important to talk to a professional, right?
Yeah.
Talk to the groomer, you know, talk to your groomer and ask them, you know, really, is your dog the kind of dog that would benefit from a summer cut? Because not all dogs do.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
dogs kind of have their air conditioning kind of built
That's
in.
That's what some of them, their breed is naturally, they have their air conditioning built in, so they don't need it.
Yes. So, you know, so sometimes cutting their hair, especially, you know, down short or whatever, may not actually help them. And, you know, if you cut it too short, they also have the risk of getting sunburned.
Mm-hmm.
So especially if you have I have a Bichon, and so, you know, he's a pink-skinned dog. So any dogs that have light-colored fur often are pink-skinned dogs. And those pink-skinned dogs have more of a chance to get sunburned.
Yes.
You know, when they're exposed to a lot of sunlight. So it's really important to, you know, make sure that you're not cutting their hair so that their body is exposed. And then that gives them the chance to get, you know, again, hotter and also potentially sunburn. So
that's, I don't think people even think of that. That's very important.
Yeah. You don't think of the dog getting sunburned.
Yes.
You know? So I think it can definitely happen. Like I said, pink skin dogs or lighter colored fur dogs have the tendency to burn more quickly than a darker skinned or a darker haired dog.
Oh, poor babies. Now, what can pet parents do if they do notice that their dog is overheating?
You know, the most important thing to do is to act immediately, right? So it's important to kind of recognize those signs, and then you'll want to make sure that you get them, you know, maybe to indoors to a cool place, like an air-conditioned room or in front of a fan. You're going to want to, you know, get some cool, wet towels on their neck or the armpits or behind their hind legs. You can gently, you know, wet their ears and paws a little bit with the cool water. You want to offer them something to drink, you know, see if they're willing to drink. But, you know, you don't want to force them to drink. So, you know, hopefully they'll, you know, when they're feeling good enough, they'll be able to take something to drink. You also want to call your veterinarian, you know, because if you're seeing these signs, you know, sometimes you're thinking that things are getting better, but they might not be getting better fast enough. So it's important that if you're feeling like your dog really is having, you know, it was getting worse, you know, or he was very sluggish, or maybe, you know, he was having a hard time walking, you definitely want to get your vet involved. And in the meantime, you know, I'm sure that they'll give you some advice to tell you what to do, and then, you know, if they want you to see you or not, you know, to be able to bring the dog in and see if there's something that they can do. Certainly, if your dog goes unconscious, immediately take them to the vet, right? Don't try to treat them. Mm-hmm. Don't try to, you know, cool them down. You know, obviously get them in a cool car and take them immediately to the vet if they should go unconscious, because, again, that can be very serious when they get dehydrated.
But another thing that we need to focus on is their nutrition, because the nutrition is a foundation of everything we do with our pets. What other ways can we keep our pets healthy during these long, hot summer months?
Yeah, you know, we talked about, you know, making sure you have cool, clean, fresh water available for your dog, but also, you know, making sure that you're feeding them a food that's appropriate for them. You know, making sure that you're giving them a good, high-quality food that is going to help them be healthy and have the energy that they need during these hot summer months. And so, you know, it's important, you know, I know at Biljack, you know, our philosophy is really about using high-quality ingredients. You know, like, for example, we start with 25 pounds of fresh chicken to make our 30-pound bag of Adult Select, for example. But, you know, in addition to that, we know that it's more than just the ingredients. Food is more than just ingredients. It's really also how you treat the food or how you properly take care of the food and prepare the food to be able to serve it. So what's really important to us is not only do we use those great high quality ingredients, but then we also gently cook it and gently dry it. And that helps to protect all the key nutrients, right, that are in there as much as we can. And then that really helps come through, right? That helps the taste be really great. And that also helps those nutrients be available for when the dog needs them. And that's really important. And certainly, you know, and treats. You know, we talk about treats. I know everybody loves to talk about our treats with us.
Those little jacks, and they're always with me.
Oh, yeah. always a fun thing. And, you know, and it's important, you know, when you're out on these walks, you have some water, you know, maybe have a couple of treats, you know, just to have a little bit of energy just in case they need it. You know, if you're going to be out again, you know, again, not during the hot times of the day, but when on the cooler times of the day, having a few treats along with you is also really important to be able to kind of keep that energy up and get them excited and motivated about what they're doing on their walk.
Oh, yeah. But where can the listeners go to learn more about Biljack and all of the things that they have?
Yeah, you know, a great place to start is our website. It's biljack.com. It's BIL-JAC.com. And, you know, we have information out there about our Picky No More formulas, about grain-free formulas. We have two outstanding sensitive solutions formulas that are, you know, one's for digestive and immune and one's for skin and coat. So there's lots of different ways you can find out about our food out there. We also have we have a great dog blog, and we try to post stories about nutrition, about like this overheating that we're talking about. We have a story about that for people to be able to have that information and be able to read it. But certainly, you know, you can also sign up for our Best Friends Club. It's basically our email, and we send it out once a month. And we have, you know, about four stories in there every month that, you know, like I said, some of them are like this, the overheating and what you can do and how you can protect your dog, but also, you know, things about nutrition and other interesting topics, right, that we
I look forward to it every month. Yep.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun writing them and picking out the topics and that kind of thing. So yeah, so we just want to be a resource, right, for you, for your dog, and you know, just to help you have more healthy, happy years together. We want to be able to give our vet as much information as we can. So and you know, sometimes we learn a lot of things too when we write them. So it's really a fun thing to be able to do, and there's oftentimes a coupon that you can sign up
for.
That. So
mm-hmm.
if you're looking to save a little on your dog food or on your treats, it's a great way to be able to do that. And it's a real easy way to just sign up every month and, you know, send it in and we'll mail you a coupon. So it's a really great way to do that too. And we also have a store locator out there. So you can also find a store near you with some of the products that we've talked about.
We're a total Bell Jack family. We love Franny, so finicky. So we have, she loves her little thing. I've got the little treats, the Bell Jacks that I take with me everywhere because I use those. All I have to do is open up the bag and I put them in a baggie and they're like, ooh. Because they smell so good. And then you have the other flavors of the treats. So there's so much available. And me, who's been doing this for almost 25 years, I read the newsletter. And there's sometimes I go, oh, my gosh, I didn't even know that. So even as a seasoned pet parent, you like go, oh, gosh, that's really interesting. So there's so much to offer. And I look forward to getting it every month. I know I'm going to get it. And I know I'm going to always pick up a little tidbit that I might not have known.
Yeah, you know, we'd like to share. So it's really good. Like I said, sometimes we learn some things too. And then it's nice to be able to, you know, have that for other people to be able to learn about as well.
Yeah, so that's a good positive experience. Now, you also are out on social media. Where can everyone go and find you?
Well, you know, we're out on Facebook and Instagram. You know, sometimes we even do some Instagram contests. So that's always fun. And we're on YouTube with some training tips as well as on the website. So we got some great training videos if you're just looking for, you know, 1 or 2 minutes to kind mm-hmm. of give you some ideas on how to maybe train your dog a little bit.
Yes.
Lots of fun ways to be able to do things like that.
Yeah, I call it bite-sized. Your little training is I call bite-sized training because it's just enough.
Yes.
And it's just, Joel's so great, and it's just enough to get it done, all the basics. And it's not something that's totally long and cumbersome. It's really brief, and you get the point really quick. And so does your pup.
Yeah, they're nice and short, just like your training sessions should be, right? They
exactly.
don't need to be a half an hour of these
no.
intense things. Just some quickies here and there, and then you're able to kind of teach a few habits or, you know, behaviors and kind of move on. So yes, it's always fun. And Joel does a terrific job.
He does. He's phenomenal. Well, Kim, I want to thank you for being our guest today and for sharing such important information so us pet parents can keep our pets safe and healthy during these long, hot summer months. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much and stay cool this summer.
Oh, yes. We'll be back in just a moment.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show. And tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and the Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.